When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, during the break, in the commercial, Wiggy was talking about Northeast Men's Health helping you erect your tree, theoretically, during the holiday season, helping you get your tree up. Can we take a stand and go real tree in here and not fake tree this Christmas? Does anybody have... I know you're a fake tree.
No. I'm a fake tree in apartment. I'm a real tree everywhere else. I just going up and down elevators, for me, it sounds like a nightmare. Okay. Here, love the idea.
Okay.
And it'll give me the fix of that Christmas tree smell.
No disrespect to our marvelous marketing team under the direction of my friend Carolyn, but I'd really like to get a real tree. I will endeavor to find a real tree for us.
Do we have the budget?
We'll have to figure it out, Curtis.
Okay.
We'll do a trade for maybe Wiggy can go sign some 8x10s or
to
something.
Do that.
We'll trade for a tree.
I love a good real tree. That was our tradition in the Wiggins household. We go every year and get our tree.
Would you go cut one down?
No. They'd already be cut. We go to one of those Christmas tree places. But you can't. No. Now that we live in an apartment, you got to have a fake tree.
I want a real one. I want to go real.
Yep.
So, are you going to go real in your apartment this year as well?
Probably. I did last year, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember you got it delivered, and then got it taken out by someone.
I helped the guy bring it in. Yeah.
So basically, Greg gets his tree and ice cream the same way.
Yes.
That's good that you can have a real tree in your apartment complex.
Can we have one in here? Is there any kind of a fire code thing? I think we can have one, right? All right. Anyway, back to the news. Oh, 8:20, as I said earlier, in about 15 minutes. I have one and only one issue with the Red Sox meeting with Juan Soto yesterday. So we'll get to that. But the rest of the news now, Courtney.
This is a sad story. Derek Sink, a man in Indianapolis, was found in a tanning bed at Planet Fitness. Sink had gone to Planet Fitness to sign up for a membership on November 8th while his girlfriend was at a nearby TJ Maxx. She reported him missing on November 10th. She couldn't find him after he went to go sign up and then I guess didn't go check the Planet Fitness. Went home.
They went to it was a strip mall?
Yes.
And they went there together, and
yes.
she couldn't find him, so she just went home?
Yes, and then reported him missing 48 hours later.
Okay.
November 10th. Sadly, he was found the next day on November 11th at the last known place where he was, Planet Fitness, in the tanning bed.
They didn't realize that there was a body in the tanning bed for 3 days?
You would think, with cleaning and everything else.
Well, clearly they don't clean them things out. It shows us.
They said they picked things up and put them down.
Sadly, authorities say that there was a needle found with him, but we can hear from Elizabeth Len, who was at the gym before authorities got there.
Nobody ever thinks you're going to go to a gym on a Monday morning and, potentially be in the same building as a dead body. And I was kind of sniffing, trying not to look crazy, but I was something smells really awful here. The first thing that kind of went off in my head was, lack of attention from the staff members at Planet Fitness, which is pretty disappointing because maybe it could have been prevented. And the tanning bed has a door, I believe, but still, why are we not concerned that the door has been closed for 3 days in a row, potentially?
Yeah.
It's like a scene out of Final Destination.
It is. Yeah, you're right. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Wallet Hub, they ranked the best sports cities in the U.S. for 2024. Where would you put Boston, and would they be number one?
I mean, I would put us near the top.
Yeah.
I saw this list. I was going to do it as a lead, and the number one should disqualify the entire outfit.
I would say Boston's top three.
Okay, you would be correct. Boston came in at number two.
Number two?
Yep.
Okay.
So who would you think is the number one?
New York, Chicago.
Philadelphia, maybe.
Nope.
I could say Philly.
What would you say has the fakest fan base in America?
Dallas.
L.A. Wiggy.
Wiggy nailed it.
Los Angeles
is the number one sports city.
Well, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, is it based on...
Yeah, what's it based on?
Based on... most recent success?
It's not just that. I mean, you look at the top five, fifth place, Dallas, fourth place, New York,
all right,
third, Pittsburgh,
Okay.
Second Boston, first LA. I think the major part about this is how many teams are probably in the area.
Yeah.
If you've taken, well, if you've taken Pittsburgh, they've got a football team, a hockey team, a baseball team. Like, not every city in the country has multiple professional sports teams.
Yeah, but there's a handful of, like, cities that have all four major sports in that one city.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Chicago has, like, eight teams.
Right.
I think that Chicago would be below Pittsburgh at the moment. Like, there was a criteria, a bunch of different ways in which they decided this. One of them, I believe, is how many teams are in the city. So I'm just saying that that's probably why L.A. is number one on the list. Yeah. Recent success and how many teams they have.
Do they break Pittsburgh it down? Only has three.
Do they break it down based on sport?
They did for Boston.
Okay.
So what do you think is the number one sport for Bostonians?
Where did we rank number one when it comes to the sports?
Mm-hmm.
Football.
No. It's popularity of the sport in the city.
It says the Wild Hub did it on how friendly they were for fans of the five major sports, which is such an odd.
Yeah, what
does that even mean?
Number one in
hockey.
Really?
Yep.
Number one in hockey. I guess I would. Okay, so we're better. We're number one, better than any other city when it comes to support of the hockey team.
Number two, basketball.
Okay.
All right.
Tied for fifth, baseball and football.
Okay. So the interest in those two teams here is fifth when you rank it around the rest of the country.
And it's weird because L.A., there's no interest in the Clippers. There's no interest in the Kings. There's no interest in the Rams or the Chargers. The only real interest in L.A. is probably the Lakers.
The Lakers, definitely.
Right.
And the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers.
But L.A. is very friendly because nobody there roots for the local teams. You can go there and be a fan of any team, and you're not going to get yelled at.
I would say that, you know, the Dodgers, they only have two. It would be the Dodgers and Lakers, but the interest in Philadelphia for the Flyers, the Sixers.
The Philly not being on the list is a mess.
The Eagles, the right. Phillies. I mean, that's just a weird
list. We got to try harder. We got to work harder.
We do.
We want to be number one.
Yep.
All right.
There's some Oscar buzz for Pam Anderson in her role in The Last Showgirl.
I've seen the trailer for this.
Yes, Mitch has the trailer for those that are watching on Twitch now.
She could win the Oscar. Pamela Anderson?
Yes. She plays an aging Vegas showgirl. It was shown at a film festival, and those who have seen it say that she is absolutely excellent.
Wow.
We can hear a part of the trailer.
Places, please.
For the final performance of the Razzle Dazzle.
I mean, Las Vegas used to treat us like movie stars. The costumes. Sets. We were ambassadors for style and grace. The Las Vegas showgirl.
Oh, so this is like their version of The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Probably.
Yeah, so, okay, I get it. You know, she's an aging showgirl
She hasn't really been taken seriously when it comes to her acting chops for most of her career.
Wow, like, did you see Barbed Wire?
I thought you were going to ask me if I saw the video in the boat.
Oh, she got an Oscar for that one.
I saw the recreation of that when it came to Tommy and Pam.
Yeah, that's correct, Well, and Wiggy... Six sleeps until Gladiator 2.
Oh, that looks...
What did you think of the news that Denzel's retiring? That came up this week.
Hate it.
Yeah.
You do?
I'm a huge fan of his, but he is going to be in the next Black Panther 3. He kind of laid out his movies. Gladiator 2, I'm excited for because I didn't think they could make a 2, right? When you see Gladiator, you're like, all right, where do you go from here? And I get kind of the direction with the nephew, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's never going to be as good as the original.
But they're saying this one's supposed to be really good.
It's good, but that's on my top 10 list all time.
That's a great movie.
The original. Have you ever seen it?
No.
You
haven't? No.
Wow.
What's wrong with you?
I don't think it's a movie that is up my alley.
It would be. Has Santo seen it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you love that era of, like, dragons and, you know, Roman
empires?
No,
I really only liked Game of Thrones.
But it's kind of like in that era of Game of Thrones minus the dragons.
You have to watch it, Courtney. Like, literally, you have to.
Yeah, Russell Crowe is so good.
But he's going to do only, like, three or four more films, and then that's it.
He said one movie called Hannibal. I don't know what he meant by that. Like, he didn't really dive into that. Yeah, so I don't know if it's like... It seems like a couple of the movies that he's doing are, like, based off of his...
No, I think Hannibal is, like, a Greek... was a Greek... military person or something.
All right. Hannibal was, no, Hannibal, I believe Hannibal was Roman. And Roman. That was because he was in the fight with the elephants that came over from the northern part of Africa, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, anything Denzel's in is spectacular. So yeah. I'm excited about Glad. And I like the
What's
other
guy. What's his best role for you?
A Training Day. Loved him in Training Day.
Man on Fire.
Yeah, he was good in Man on Fire. He's so man. And I like the other actor that's in Gladiator 2 that's in The Last of Us. What's that guy's name?
Patton Oswalt.
No, not Patton Oswalt. you know The Last of Us, the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? That he's a good actor. He's a Spanish actor.
That was a show that started off so
Oh,
so
Pascal.
Good.
Pascal.
Siakam.
No.
Pedro
no.
Pascal.
Yes. He's in Gladiator 2. I like him as an actor. I think he does a
you
great job.
You have to have Crimson Tide on your. Is that the name of that movie with the submarine that Denzel's in?
Yes.
Gene
Hackman.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. For me, I know it's. I mention every time The Siege, he is so good. And that is such an unbelievably good movie pre 9/11 and what they got right. Wild.
I mean, the Equalizer films are pretty good, too.
Yeah. He's just got so many
he's
roles.
He's good in everything.
John Hume.
He was good as the pilot in that movie where he was drinking and, and saved everybody.
That was awesome. So good.
He was good, obviously, as Malcolm X. He was good in Glory. He was good in the, what's it called? The Fences movies with Viola Davis. I don't think he was good in The Debate. Remember that movie, The Debate? I don't know if you saw that one, but there's just so many deja vu.
I mean, and he was good in Remember the Titans.
Oh,
in that
yes.
role.
Yes. Inside Man was another good one. I saw that on the Twitch.
He's so handsome, too. He's aged very well.
So many good movies.
All right, Courtney, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
That is the news. Coming up, we'll get to my Juan concern about the Red Sox meeting with Juan Soto yesterday. And currently, Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get pummeled in Dallas, 7-2 the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 31 saves on the night. Former Bruin Tyler Seguin became the first member of the 2010 NHL draft class to hit 800 points. He got 2 points against his former team in this one. Brandon Carlo hit the boards from what most are calling a dirty hit by Jamie Benn. Carlo shaken up, headed to the dressing room before coming back to the ice. Jim Montgomery talked about that after the loss.
Yeah, he's a tough competitor. You know, one thing about Brando is he wears his heart out there on the ice, and he's a Bruin.
The Bees are off tonight before welcoming the Blues to the Garden tomorrow. It's a doubleheader at the Garden. The Bruins game is at 1, and then a quick turnover before the Seas have the Raptors at 8. The Eagles are 8-2 on the season. They beat the Commanders in Thursday Night Football, 26-18 the final. It is a Patriots Friday. We talked to Jelani Tavai already this morning. If you missed that, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app, but it is a Patriots Friday all day long here on EEI. 1 p.m. kickoff at Gillette on Sunday against the Rams. And Mike Tyson and Jake Paul will fight tonight on Netflix. That kicks off at 8 p.m. And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a 3-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, 2 sides, and a free 3-course meal upgrade. Available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 34, sunny out, mostly sunny this afternoon, 54. And Greg, if you're heading to Gillette on Sunday, going to be gorgeous. Mid to upper 50s, abundant sunshine in Foxborough.
Chime, is that new Shaboozy?
That is. Dropped at midnight last night.
Song of the fall. I'm declaring it right now.
Love he got that. Some Grammy noms.
He did?
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
Yep.
Well-deserved.
It sounds almost identical to the other one.
No, it does not, Curtis.
What?
Please, stay in your
lane. The beat is a little bit the same. I give you the beat, but
stay in your lane.
The flow of it is different.
Stick to weather.
Stick to Rammstein. Yeah.
That was way more country than Shaboozy's other stuff.
Yeah, that was definitely a country one.
All right, so it's a Patriots Friday, but I would like to get into a little bit about the Red Sox and their meeting with Juan Soto. And I am a tiny bit concerned because the good news is it was a 3-hour meeting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good meeting.
Right?
Oh, 3 hours. That means it was good.
Not a 45-minute meeting.
Nope.
Not an hour.
Nope.
It was 3 hours. Bad news is that John Henry was not there.
And do you know the worst news?
What?
They didn't exchange a single dollar figure. They're there for 3 hours, doing videos about the history of great Dominican players with the Red Sox. And Scott Boras, Juan Soto were there, and they don't make a single offer?
But
what are we doing?
They walked away. I mean, the reports are that Soto was impressed by the three-hour pitch. His main question was what their commitment was to winning.
Yep.
Right.
So if he's if he walks away impressed by it, then I feel good about it moving forward.
But the what does he have to gain if he says it's not a good meeting and then other teams know a potential suitor is not out there?
And then they also...
I mean, if I'm Juan Soto and I'm not impressed, I'm not going to lie about it.
Of course you do. You want to increase your value because more teams
You have three other teams that are fighting over you. If you want to stick it to the Red Sox, you're like, yeah, you guys suck.
Right. You say that after you sign your big deal.
No. But if it's a three-hour meeting, nothing sucked about it. And the other thing that was good that they said that... They laid out the crop of soon-to-be arriving, like, you know, top prospects, you know, maybe top free agents they could be after. So, I mean, 3 hours, you don't have a meeting with somebody for 3 hours and it not be a positive meeting.
Well, Curtis says that the Reds, and he's right, the Red Sox do this a lot, where they tell you after somebody, a big-name free agent, big-money free agent signed somewhere else, they tell you that they were in on it. However, understanding the fan base and their displeasure with the performance of the baseball team for the last 3 of the last 4 years or 4 of the last 5, whatever, I don't know why they would set themselves up for massive anger on the part of the fans by going out there and meeting with them and telling everybody about it if they weren't all in on getting a deal done.
Right.
Why did they report at the end of the winter meetings that they had offered $280 million to Bogarts right before he signed with the Padres?
Because that's the way they oftentimes do business. This feels different to me. I think it feels different because Juan Soto... I mean, I see the guy, Curtis, I don't know if you've seen it. It's all over the interwebs.
Right.
The man really enjoyed dancing with Jason Varitek and with Pedro Martinez.
Right.
I mean, that says to me, look at them. They're having a blast, some kind of an event. I don't know whether that's a wedding or so. I don't know what that was, David Ortiz's golf tournament or something. But first of all, the guy can dance.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's cutting a rug with two legendary Boston Red Sox talents. I feel like it's
get Tech on the phone. You guys are pals.
Well, we could do that.
And a legendary Dominican player in Pedro. So, I mean, that could have been the Pedro fundraiser event. And it clearly wasn't this year because I would have been all over Juan Soto and doing my best to put the full court press on him. But the thing I look at is if you're Juan Soto, why would you sit and meet with a team for 3 hours? Like, if you knew they weren't...
What is it? Are we talking a dinner meeting? Like,
what, you think he's taking a free dinner? I don't think he's...
Well, no, I'm just saying that if you're... Is he going to stand up in the middle of a dinner and walk out?
No, but a dinner will take you... Who has three-hour dinner meetings?
Me.
You have 3 hours... You've had a three-hour dinner meeting.
Yeah.
What? That's cap. You ain't had no
Tim Clark. Tim Clark.
It was 3 hours?
Yep.
That's cap, Courtney. Stop it. Well, what'd you do for 3 hours?
Talked.
No cap.
You asked.
I ain't buying that one. I give you like an hour and a half. Okay. And then after that, it's like, all right, let's get up out of here and maybe go someplace else or something. You ain't sitting down. But my point is, if there's not an interest in the Red Sox for Juan Soto, he would just be like, okay, time for me to go. And the Red Sox, they know what the asking price is.
So then why not make the deal then?
Well, because you don't want to be too eager on the money, right? You don't
want
to.
What do you mean? What else would they be meeting
about?
You know the Mets are, and the Mets are saying this publicly, they're sitting there waiting to write the biggest check.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
So let them set the market.
So you have to have some hope that Juan Soto actually wants to be a part of this franchise,
right?
And that maybe it's not just about the money,
right? If you're Juan Soto, or if you're the Red Sox, and any good negotiation, and you know there's other teams that are going to negotiate, you let those other teams set the market. You don't set the market.
So you think the Red Sox are lying in wait to be the highest bidder?
Well, you lie in wait and you see what that number is, that if another team wants to throw a number out there, then you start to know, like, okay, is that a number we really want to go over? Is that a number we really – who knows? That's why you let somebody else set the market when you know there's other teams out there that are very interested that he's meeting with, you know, a couple days after you.
This is Tim. Tim, good morning.
Guys, good morning. I love you all. Curtis, you're the only one that sounds like they're thinking properly. I'll tell you what. I said for the last 3 years, these guys in the front office have false pretenses. Everything else down the road, they just don't spend. I think the reason why they don't, Pablo Sandoval, I believe that was his name, created a problem for these guys years ago, right? They struggled to pay Devers his money, okay? And then I don't think they want to put the cash out. They all have good meetings, but they're going to go nowhere. They're not going to spend. Look what they did with this pitcher. Is this guy a miracle guy that they paid $1 million for? Come on, change the ways. Do it the right way. So, otherwise, the fans are getting pissed off.
Tim, an organization can't change the way they do business. They can't determine that they made them. Like, they clearly wanted, John Henry and others wanted a correction when it came to salaries in Major League Baseball. So I get it.
What was John Henry doing yesterday, Greg?
I don't know, Curtis. It's disappointing. It's disappointing.
Greg, could I say one?
Yeah.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes.
The thing is, today, we talk about it every week, every month. The salaries aren't changing, man. These young kids, they want the boatload. They want to go to a great team, but if the team ain't there, they just want their cash. And that's the way today's world is, guys.
Well, he's going to get the thing.
I love you all.
Okay, the thing with a player like Juan Soto is he's going to get the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows he's going to get the cash.
Right.
So the chance that you have is that there are other factors that are a part of it, I guess. I don't know. Did they tell him about Snowport?
I don't know if they did.
Does he know about the Snowport?
Yeah, I don't know if they did.
I mean,
but that could have been something they could have mentioned to him.
Honestly, was that a part of
the cheese wheel?
Right.
That Greg was talking about? I mean.
Right. How many awkward laughs from Sam Kennedy over 3 hours?
Did they tell him about the Freedom Trail?
Oh.
I mean, there are things here.
Mm-hmm.
The foliage?
Right. I would have told them about the huge Dominican population that is in Massachusetts.
And you know, Juan, if you're a hockey fan, we got tickets to the Penguins whenever you want them.
It's a special time.
Great Dominican food around here. You know, Dominican music.
The argument as well expressed by Baseball Brett on this show that you are putting all of your eggs in Juan basket.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case.
Yeah.
You can pay him.
Right.
And then you can pay others. You can trade prospects.
Right. But we've also seen before that one guy can change a franchise. You know, so when you think of the Red Sox and you think of, and I think it's more of fans now know, like, they're saying, all right, so for the past 3 or 4 years, you've guys been holding your wallets pretty tight to your hip. And you've been telling us that you are in the market. Like, there was a rumored offer that you were offered Yamamoto $300 million. It is now time for you to shut up and put up, because I think fans are past it. And I think the Red Sox know that the fans kind of see through the BS that they've been pushing out for the past couple of years. So they have to make a major splash to kind of get fans to buy back into what they could potentially be selling us moving forward.
And if you're Juan Soto and you meet for 3 hours and you have meetings with other teams, you gain nothing from saying, I didn't like it. If you say it went well, then other teams have to up their game and ensure they meet with you and they offer to you. Losing suitors at this stage is the opposite of how Scott Boras has brilliantly negotiated billions of dollars worth of baseball contracts.
Yeah, it would be stupid to say the meeting wasn't great.
We shouldn't use that as any sort of judgment as to where the team is.
No, I use the fact that you met for 3 hours.
Because you think that shows interest from Juan Soto.
Yeah, if you're the Red Sox or if you're Juan Soto, you know, like, there's a market out there. If I'm not interested in that team, I'm not spending 3 hours of my time sitting there. You know, we can cut this meeting short. He probably went in there with Boris. You know, for all you people out there that were dating, there was somebody probably ready to give a fake text message where Juan's like, oh, I got to go.
The meeting lasted 3 hours.
Got an emergency at the crib.
But the meeting lasted 3 hours, but we don't know how long he fell asleep when Tom Warner was talking.
Yeah, maybe he did. But he's easily got somebody on standby like, oh, I got an emergency at the crib, Sam. I got to cut this thing short.
I had probably, no idea, Roseanne.
Tom Warner probably likes dinner at about 5 o'clock or so, I would guess.
He doesn't mention the Roseanne show anymore. That's ixnay.
This is High-Pitched Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Hey, so Wiggy, I like how Wiggy, you know, stopped saying Courtney's cap in about 3 hours when we had that whole discussion for like 3 days a few years back when she held up a whole table for 3 hours and left a crappy tip.
It's not. She's
She's a table hog.
Wait, hold on. I did not leave a crappy tip at all. I never do that. And also, I'm not hogging up the table if I'm continuing to order things.
Right,
if
that's true.
My bill's just going up.
Yes. That's true.
But you ain't ordering nothing for 3 hours.
There's a good table time. It's an hour and a half.
Right.
So
other people want to sit down and eat. 3 hours is too much.
Jeff, if you're the waiter.
You book a room.
Jeff, if you're the waiter and you have a table full of people and they're ordering drinks and their bill is going up and up and up and they're going to tip 20%+, you're mad about that?
No, I'm not mad. I'm just making an obvious point that happened.
I'm asking because you said I'm hogging the table. It's not hogging. So
yeah,
you want me to
table.
Give up
somebody
my
could
seat?
Be waiting for a table.
But you want me to give up my seat for then somebody else to come in who may be a bad tipper?
Yeah. Mm, good point.
Yeah, but
you never know.
Good
okay,
point. But Courtney,
I retract my bring up.
No. Here's how it goes. High pitch, Jeff. You might be ordering drinks, but which might be $20 per drink, right? So you wait. You're wasting this guy's time for a few drinks when the next person to come in is ordering a full meal. It's going to be way... So
or
the
they're
more,
not.
Who goes in and sits at a table and doesn't order dinner?
Have you ever seen a group of girls that go in and just get, like, apps to share? That's a waiter's worst nightmare. So, yeah, if we're
so
going...
So then that's why he would want to push them out.
But if they pushed me and Santo out, who's ordering bottles of wine, for then a group of girls to come in and order shared apps.
Yeah, but you said you've done it with a group of... You and Santo are not sitting at a table for 3 hours.
Yes, I'm telling you, I cannot tell you the last time I went to dinner at a restaurant and left under 2.5 hours.
Greg.
Breaking, Curtis. Breaking. Do you know what the pitch deck was called during the meeting yesterday?
No.
Full Throttle.
Oh, I love it. I you know what? I actually don't even think he's going to meet with another team. He and Tom Warner are going to take a walk today.
Maybe they do. Greg, send out the bat signal to Santo to see if she really, if they really have dinner for 2.5 hours. Send up Santo.
I've gone
listen.
To plenty of dinners with Greg and DMs, and our dinners are not over in 2.5 hours.
Ooh.
No, Greg, I mean.
They're not.
You're fraudulent over there, brother.
I don't think we've had a 3-hour dinner.
100%.
Whoa.
Capital Grill?
Did you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, but that was like appetizers and, I mean, I guess, was that, that wasn't 3
yes,
hours.
Yes, I'm telling you it was.
Was it really?
Wow, Greg, you are just like hogging up the tables for 3 hours.
I am not a hog.
Damn.
I am not a hog.
I would rather be kicked in the nuts than
an hour. That
for
is
three
the
hours.
Biggest douche move around, an hour and a half. Let the next people come in and
that's
eat.
Like, I mean, hour and a half. How do you even get through a course?
Dude, you
and
get
a drink.
Your food and then you know where you go.
Do you order as soon as you sit down?
Yeah, you kind of know what you're getting.
The greatest thing that James has, outside of the fact that he's perfect, is the fact that the second I sit down, I give the server the card, we order, boom, 30 minutes later, we're out of there.
This is Jack from Lancaster. What's up, Jack?
What's up, guys? Hey. Just didn't want to overlook the fact that Juan Soto is a Yankee, and he's a traitor. He's looking for a bag. When he gets paid, I think things are going to get ugly quickly. So I'm off. I'm off on Juan Soto.
He's a traitor?
I think, is that because he left Washington?
Well, he had to get out of Washington.
Okay.
But now he plays for the Yankees, and are we just going to overlook the fact that we don't like them.
Well, yeah, wasn't he traded to the Yankees?
Yeah. From San Diego, right?
No say in the matter. Man,
I don't care if he plays for the Yankees. Yeah, I don't care if he played for the Yankees. If Aaron Judge was like, hey, I want to go to Boston tomorrow and play, I'd be like, sign me up.
I know.
I don't
give
a damn.
Give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, like who cares about that?
All right, well, anyway, 3-hour meeting.
Jesus, you two.
Is that good or bad? You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I believe, since it is a Friday, that we need to get to Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us. Are we going to do that next time?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Greg.
All right. He's our guy, Jermaine Wiggins, and we will get to Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us coming up next. We are back on Monday in at Gillette Stadium for a Patriots Monday, and that means we'll be joined by Gerard Mayo and by Boomer Esiason on this show on Monday morning. But right now, Shyam, let's get to this.
And now.
Ooh, I saw something last night.
Yeah? All right.
Well, makes me want to jingle.
Another edition of.
Christmas is what? January 1st, right?
Jermaine Wiggins.
This tickles my fanny.
Not like the rest of us.
People that go up in a plane to go into the eye of the storm.
Yeah, weather people.
They have a specific name, the ones that go into hurricanes.
Weather people.
Brought to you by Coleman Electric. Hey, Wiggy, what's Coleman?
Is it Pro Como?
No, we're electricians, dude. Coleman!
It's electric!
That sounds pretty good.
Okay. Another service of Coleman Electric. Some of Wiggy's highlights from the week. Where do you want to start, Shyam?
This was one of my all-time favorite Wiggy moments. Just about a week ago, we were celebrating the birthday of a war hero in Joe Landry. And Wiggy was in charge of leading happy birthday for Joe Landry. And this is how that went.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What?
I'm adding a little flavor.
What kind of
to you?
What kind of rube doesn't put the person's name in the song? That's why
he forgot it.
It's been sung for 100.
I was getting ready to.
What?
Yeah, I mean, very strange. I don't
know. I was remixing it. Happy Joe.
Did you not remember his name?
No, I remembered his name. I couldn't remember the song.
Everybody know. That's what I thought.
That's where I was.
You couldn't remember the happy birthday song?
Yeah, because it was to Joe, but then Courtney, it's Dear Joe. Is that how the happy birthday song works?
There's no Dear Joe.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dear Joe.
Yeah, see, that's where I was like, happy birthday.
And I thought it was
another. No, I know it was another two.
But you kind of forgot his name.
No, I knew Joe's name. I was just remixing. Let the singer sing.
Okay.
Well, I've said it 10 times, so probably too many times. But if you miss Joe Landry on this show or you haven't played it for your kids, you should go back on the Odyssey app or rewind if you stream the show at weei.com and listen to it. An unbelievable guy, unbelievable story of his family and his five siblings who were all fighting in World War II together. It's it was just an unbelievable honor to meet him. And the dude, not only did he do the show with us, but then he came to the 110 Grill after with all of the rest of the heroes.
A man got all his faculties at 100.
He does. He really does. I hope I'm like that when I get to 100.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. You don't want to be like Jimmy Carter trying to catch flies.
Well, I mean,
Joe is still driving.
No disrespect to Jimmy Carter.
Right, but I mean Joe's still.
You don't think Jimmy is driving?
Hell no.
Greg, fun fact. Did you
Joe getting his license for another 5 years, though?
That's pretty good. Wow. Yes, Curtis, what?
I was just going to say that, I don't know if you know this, but Jimmy Carter was also at the Juan Soto meeting.
Ain't no way Jimmy's driving.
Yeah.
Ain't no way.
All right. Is there anything else that was up for consideration, Sean?
Yeah, just one other one from earlier this week. Curtis had asked the room which you would rather take, champagne or cheese. And I think Wiggy got a little confused at first. And here was the Wiggy's response to that.
Champagne, a type of cheese?
No. Like the drink?
Like the drink champagne?
Right. Oh. Both are like from a region specifically.
Oh, okay, because I was like, champagne and cheese. I would want cheese all day long. Yeah. I don't even like champagne.
Right.
Well, I thought that was a type of cheese. Because when we get to talking about cheese, you guys have all types of names for cheeses.
Yeah, well, there are various kinds of
right.
cheese. There are various.
I mean, I know provolone, Swiss, and, you know, American.
Gouda, brie,
yeah, like,
goat,
yeah,
cheddar, like
Manchego.
Cheddar.
Manchego. What the hell is that?
It's like a Spanish cheese, I believe.
Oh, okay. Manchego.
I thought it was Monterey Jack.
Manchego is very good cheese.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of brie. It does nothing for me.
Me neither, to be honest. I think people would assume that I like brie because I like a soft cheese, yeah. and brie doesn't do it for me. And I have to say, after the show, when we had that little back and forth joke, there is a cheddar cheese called champagne. A lot of people were saying to me,
really?
Like, well, Wiggy's not 100% wrong.
Okay,
interesting.
Wiggy.
So I did not know that.
There's a champagne cheese?
Right. Yeah, it's a cheddar cheese, right. but it's called champagne.
See, Shyam, you should know that. You're the cheese. You're supposed to be the cheese expert.
Wiggy, I'm just more of a sharp cheddar guy. Like, I never knew there was a champagne cheese. I was unaware.
I know there's mozzarella. Mm-hmm. That's cheese.
Yep, there is.
Of course there is.
So,
that is true.
Yeah, but brie, I don't think I ever had brie or know what brie is, but...
You've definitely had brie, probably.
Maybe I have.
If you could only have one, what would it be?
Probably mozzarella.
Really?
Yeah. If I can only have one cheese. Because I feel like you could put mozzarella on pretty much, not everything, but it's way more versatile. It's like a 5-2 player.
But you can't have like a turkey and mozzarella sandwich. Like,
why not?
It needs to be a...
Because like you can put mozzarella on. A lot of people put it on cold cuts.
You can't have a ham and... Like, it's got to be ham and Swiss. Like, there are certain things that go with...
So Swiss would be your... If you could only have one?
No.
Have you never had ham and cheddar?
I've had ham and cheddar.
Oh,
but
great.
I think Swiss is the go-to with the ham.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like
a
ham sandwich? Like a cold ham sandwich?
Yeah.
Right. Don't they put ham on an Italian sub?
Yeah.
So you could put...
provolone on an Italian but you sub, could, not you mozzarella,
could, but you could put mozzarella on an Italian sub.
If I had to pick one and only one, I might go with the Munster.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it. It's a pretentious cheese.
It is not pretentious. It is not.
I know Eddie
is pretentious.
So what do you mean it's cheese? Cheese can't be pretentious.
Like if you're at a really like nice restaurant and it's lunchtime and they're giving a grilled cheese, it's always like a grilled cheese with Munster.
Yeah. Because it's flavorful. Mm.
Can I put Munster on my salad?
No.
You probably wouldn't.
See, I could put mozzarella on my salad.
If I could only pick one cheese, it would be goat.
If I had one, it'd be Jarlsberg.
But you're calling me pretentious, and then you're picking a cheese
immediately
that
pulls out goat cheese.
Goat?
Do you heat up goat cheese?
Goat cheese far more pretentious than Munster.
Correct.
Really?
I like goat cheese. Munster
is the working man's cheese.
Wrong.
Why would you have
that's
it?
Not right.
Yes, it is.
That's not right.
Well, I guess American is the working man's cheese.
Yes.
Like, is that white American or bologna. Orange American?
We have two Americas.
Bologna and American and mustard is the working man's sandwich.
What's the most pretentious cheese? Is it goat?
No,
or is it brie?
I like goat.
It's probably Gruyere.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anything that you have to say, anything that has an accent of goût in it is very pretentious.
That's fair.
But what do you use your goat for? Is that because
I can put it on salads, great in omelets, in sandwiches. It's universal.
Okay, because I do...
Pasta.
I put the goat in the microwave, heat it up for like 45 seconds, and then dip crackers in it.
See, I would...
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that's
you make
like,
your own fondue.
No, it's like a goat cheese dip. You buy it right in.
What type of cracker?
Are
you a Ritz guy?
Yeah, regular Ritz cracker. Okay.
Thank God you didn't say Triscuits. Triscuits are the worst excuse for a cracker ever invented, and they do extreme damage to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah,
like anybody, I would choose a Wheat Thin over a Triscuit.
I love
all
Wheat
day
Thins.
Long.
No,
Triscuits are gross.
I can't say I have a strong opinion on them, but I like
the knockoff version of the Ritz also.
Okay.
You know, comes in the green box. What's that one? The cheap version? Shoppers or something.
I don't know what that is. I like to put pepperoni between my Ritz crackers.
Oh.
Yeah, like make little pepperoni cracker sandwiches.
Cracker sandwiches?
Yeah. You don't do that?
100 of them?
No, I don't do that. I get the because obviously, you know, stay watching my weight. I get the turkey pepperoni.
I don't like
70%
cold pepperoni.
Better when it comes. You don't like cold pepperoni?
No.
Why not?
Why?
I don't know. I only like it when it's crispy.
Yeah. Oh, on a pizza.
I would throw that turkey pepperoni in the packaging into Courtney's app and see what you get on that. That's
well, I mean, maybe in her app, but that's good.
The thing was manufactured in 1974. By
Greg,
the way.
On the package,
it's got age, Greg. That's
it's
good.
It's healthier and it's not as greasy.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I love the cracker pepperoni
sandwiches.
All right, we got to take a break, but first we're going to say hello to James from Boston. Hello, James.
Hey, Greg, how are you? How you guys doing?
What's up?
I just wanted to say thank you again for last week for everything you did for Joe.
I
don't know if you knew it or not. I wanted to.
This is the James who introduced us to Joe Landry a year ago at Lunch with a Hero.
Correct? Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to one of your callers, Dan. I didn't get his last name. He's from Quincy.
Danny.
He gave Joe a hat.
Yeah,
Danny. Yeah, is that it?
Yes.
He had made Joe a special Battle of the Bulge hat that he gave him at the place last week.
He's the best. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Wiggy's right. Like, he's more together than the rest of us. And he's 100.
Yeah. So, I would just say, do your best to try to keep him off the roads. I know he's got his license, but I mean, he's a Hyundai. I don't know how comfortable I feel with a 100-year-old driving.
Okay. He's going to be
Wiggy,
that guy.
I asked him.
What? Go ahead.
I was with him on Monday at a veteran celebration at the Legion. And I asked him, I said, Joe, you don't drive at night, do you? And he didn't really answer. Or the highway. He goes, well, I'm really not supposed to say, but I was coming back from Worcester. I looked down. I was doing 80. I'm like, man, I got to slow down. I'm like, why were you coming back from Worcester? He's like, I was at the VA.
Wow. I tell you.
I'm still waiting to find out what his secret is because I gotta know it.
He lived life, man.
Yeah,
he lived life.
He didn't feel it was it was appropriate to tell you what his secret
is.
Imagine that he's doing 80. Joe has 100 doing 80.
Wow,
and he made it home.